Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Thursday night. What is it, 10:44 p.m.? I feel and I sound like we just went live. Fact of the matter is, for the last 1 hour and 37 minutes, I have been doing Q&A with yours truly. We got into a whole bunch of AEW, WWE news, a little bit of Tammy Sitch shit, little tribute to Ray Liotta along the way. Talking about some ratings, a lot of Q&A, Hell in a Cell, Forbidden Door, Double or Nothing, goes on and on and on. So if you haven't checked out the Q&A portion of tonight, absolutely do so. You'll enjoy it tremendously. But right now, for this, we are getting into strictly AEW pay-per-view predictions. Double or Nothing takes place this Sunday, and talk about a stacked card. And some matches, well, at least one, has not been finalized yet. And that is the Women's Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. Now, sure, we could have done predictions on Saturday after we have the result of that match. The problem is, who really in their right mind tuning in right now is going to watch my predictions between Saturday night and Sunday afternoon? Probably not too many. So we're doing this on Thursday. But I will tell you this. My prediction for the women's match is pretty much the same that I have been going with all along. And I don't see it changing on Sunday. But when we get to that match, we will look at the two possible scenarios. Because right now, Britt Baker is in the final. She is going to Double or Nothing to compete in the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament Final. The question is, does she face Ruby Soho or does she face Chris Statlander? So I will give you predictions for both, even though I'm still going with one person to win it all. So with that said, let's get into these matches. As of right now, there are 11. There's some rumors that Darby Allin may get a match. There were some rumors that Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky would get a match. I thought Sammy Guevara was injured. So I don't know what the deal is there. Sting apparently has some type of an injury. I don't think they were going to have Sting on the card anyway, because they would have definitely announced a Sting match by now if it was going to happen. But so there is a possibility they could still add one or two matches between now and Sunday. But for now, we are going to go with the 11, which is still a very loaded show. Be prepared for a 4.5 to 5 hour show, including the buy-in. But up and down the list, I think this is going to be arguably, you know, the top three pay-per-views of the year. I don't know how you could screw this up. I mean, yes, it is overload. You know, I'll make one point before we get to the matches. You know, we pointed out last week that WrestleMania Backlash had 16 wrestlers compete. As of now, for Double or Nothing, they have 40 wrestlers competing. That is 2.5 times as many wrestlers. And WrestleMania Backlash was a regular WWE pay-per-view slash premium live event. And, you know, we've had that conversation for well over a year and a half now, that WWE, by getting rid of 100 people on their roster, they realized they could do the same with less. Now you see the results of it. 16 people on the card, whereas 2 years ago, you may have had on average 25. With AEW, though, we're at 40, and that could go up to 44, 46. So, with that said, let's get into the matches. Some are very predictable. Some are not. All right. First match, which is the buy-in. We have Hook and Danhausen taking on Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. I mean, we know what the outcome is with this already. It's got to be Hook and Danhausen. Hook is not going to get a loss this early. I know some people think that this could be all a swerve and Hook is going to turn on Danhausen. This is not Booker T and Goldust, but it gives me those types of vibes. It's just a fun pairing. Hook is still a rookie. Hook has only had a couple of matches in his career. It's going to take him a year, 2 years, to get to what should be the next level. So in the meantime, you're developing a little bit of a personality. There's a little bit of a clash in style with some of the people he faces. This is going to be a lot of comedy. Not on Hook's part, but everybody else involved. You know, Mark Sterling is going to goof it up. Tony Nese will probably have a little bit of faux pas with Mark Sterling. In the end, you know who's winning this. Hook and Danhausen have to take it. And this is the feel-good match. It's the comedy match. It's the feel-good match. It's fine. Jade Cargill defending the TBS championship against Anna Jay. Earlier on the Q&A episode, someone had brought up that there's a lot of people online that really believe Anna Jay is beating Jade Cargill. Hell no. Jade Cargill, I know everybody chants Wardlow like Goldberg, old school Goldberg, but Jade Cargill is the one truly getting the Goldberg push. I like Anna Jay, but this is such a random match. She makes the save last week, and boom, she gets the title shot. How come you didn't make a save 2 weeks ago, Anna Jay? How come you didn't make the save a month ago? Makes the save, gets the title match. This is what we call an Acme Insta-feud. You go back with me years. Jade Cargill's getting this. Jade Cargill is still very inexperienced. That is not a detriment to her. AEW is taking baby steps with Jade Cargill, and they're doing a good job. Obviously, this championship is, you know, is being held by someone who still has a boatload to learn inside the ring, and she is learning. I think for some, they're probably just annoyed that it seems like Jade Cargill gets more publicity and more time than Thunder Rosa. And yeah, I could see that. But Jade Cargill is more about the presentation than about the ability itself. At this point, Jade Cargill defeats Anna Jay. They will make it like a 6 or 7 minute match. And to me, that's totally unnecessary. But, you know, they got to give everybody, they can't job anybody out. Mark Sterling is the only one I could see that would be, they would job out and not hesitate to do it. Everyone else, they feel like, you know, we got to give that person at least 6, 7 minutes. It would be disrespectful if we have anybody get squashed. And sometimes that's a big mistake. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defending the AEW Tag Team Championships against Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, and Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I would love to see either Strickland and Keith Lee win it or Hobbs and Starks to win it. I think this is more about perception than anything else. I'm still not believing that Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland are getting this perceived push that everybody kind of says that they are. I really, really enjoy Swerve Strickland's work. Yes, it seems like WWE may have made a mistake by letting him go. But I just, in my eyes, I just don't see AEW putting the focus on those two with those tag titles. Now, in the case of Hobbs and Ricky Starks, Ricky Starks has the FTW title, so he has a championship no matter what. A lot of us feel, what are they waiting for with Hobbs? I mean, this is now 3 years, and yes, he is much better now than what he was 3 years ago, but you feel like it's time to give something to Hobbs. In my opinion, I believe Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus keep those titles, but I also would love to see Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks take it. There's been some rumors that Christian could turn on Jungle Boy. Let me put it this way. If Christian turns on Jungle Boy and turns on him Sunday, then I say Hobbs and Ricky Starks win it. I think Hobbs needs a championship. And it's not a black thing or anything like that. It's just the man, you know, every time we felt like there was a little momentum, he would lose a match. I remember he had a match with Dante Martin, and I'm a big fan of Dante Martin's also. But I remember when that match went down, I said, why are they putting these two people up? Neither one should be losing. And, you know, it seems like whenever Hobbs gets a little momentum, they pull the rug from under him. So you know what? I want to go with Hobbs and Starks more because of this than this. I am a big fan of Hobbs. Starks too, but Hobbs especially. Out of everybody in that match, I'm probably rooting for Hobbs more than anybody. Okay. The women's Owen Hart tournament final. We know that Britt Baker has defeated Toni Storm. The question is, who does she face? It's either Chris Statlander or Ruby Soho. My prediction has been Ruby Soho from the get-go. I am still going with Ruby Soho to win this. What's interesting about it, we could have the power couple winning the whole Owen Hart tournament. We may have Adam Cole and Britt Baker winning the tournament. I don't know how the net would react to that. I like Britt Baker, and she has improved. She definitely has earned all the awards that she has gotten. But the one thing that still sticks to me is that Owen Hart Memorial Tournament match, and she's given the finger on the TV. Now, look, I don't get triggered at middle fingers. I'm a big boy. I could take it. But I just thought, you know, for their tournament like this, you may be a little classier. But for me, I'm going to stick with Ruby Soho to take this. Now, if Chris Statlander was to somehow advance to the final and Chris Statlander took on Britt Baker, then I'm going with Britt Baker to win it. But I truthfully believe Ruby Soho came in with a house of fire, and then it really, really dwindled down, and we exposed that. I mean, I'm not saying we're getting any credit, or we should, but we exposed that. 15 wins on AEW YouTube, one win on AEW Network TV. Suddenly, she got two more wins, and there might be a third one Friday, and maybe they're finally giving Ruby Soho a little bit and a little bit of momentum. So I'm going with Ruby Soho to win it. But if Chris Statlander somehow were to go to the finals, I'm going with Britt Baker. But I just don't see Chris Statlander going to the finals. I like her upgraded look. She has improved in a ring a hell of a lot more than I even thought. But I still think Ruby Soho should be the one to get it. Okay, continuing on. Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe. I'm going with my original pick to win it all, and that is Adam Cole. Adam Cole, they have not given him a championship belt. A lot of people are comparing his NXT reign to his AEW reign. Early on, he's fighting Evil Uno. He's fighting, you know, I'm going to have my ultimate challenge. I'm going to take on, you know, 10. I mean, it just felt very underwhelming for a little while. He had the feud with Hangman Page. He came on the short side of everything. Adam Cole needs a decisive win. I think winning this tournament is it. And yes, it's. I don't want to just downplay and say, yes, it's the Owen Hart tournament. I don't think there's going to be a second one. I'd be surprised if there was. And I'm sorry for going like this. It's just allergies. It's not cocaine. Adam Cole needs that decisive win. Samoa Joe's already got a championship. Ring of Honor. What happened to Satnam Singh all of a sudden? What happened to Jay Lethal? You know, did they like, you know, did they take the veer out the last couple of weeks with TV? I mean, suddenly like Samoa Joe, like nobody wants to fuck with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe has that Ring of Honor championship. Samoa Joe, even though he would be fine as a winner of this tournament, I'm going with Adam Cole. Not wavering from my original prediction. Next. Death Triangle versus House of Black. Oh, boy. This is a tough one for the simple reason that they have been teasing this Julie Hart stuff forever. And I'm not saying this as an insult to Julie Hart, but it's just Julie Hart. It's someone who is not extremely good in the ring. She's wearing a patch. It's like I Am Mike Sharp, if anybody goes back that far with me. I Am Mike Sharp wore the fucking forearm brace. Cowboy Bob Orton wore the cast. That's how I look at Julie Hart's thing. It's comical at this point. I mean, she got green mist shot on her forehead how many months ago? And they're still teasing this? Don't give me, oh, that is long booking, long-term booking. No, that's not. That's not even lazy booking. It's like, oh, we fucking forgot booking. At this point, I have no interest in Julie Hart being part of this group. But it wouldn't surprise me if AEW still does something with this. Pac, I mean, they should have done so much more with this guy. Talk about a guy who got paid big bucks and AEW has done so little with this guy. But at the same point, I just feel like the House of Black, I mean, Malakai Black came in at the House of Fire and the stuff with Cody was awesome. Some of the other things he was doing was awesome. Then they gave him Brody King, and yeah, I'm not a big fan of Brody King. I like Buddy Matthews, but Buddy Matthews has no tattoos. You know, he just doesn't fit the group, in my opinion. I mean, I know their history, and he could look angry, he could look constipated, but Buddy Matthews, to me, just doesn't fit. But it sure feels like House of Black needs some win. They feuding with the Dark Order. They're feuding with Fuego del Sol. I mean, if you're not planning on keeping this group together, then just have them lose, and that's it. But I would go with the House of Black. I think the House of Black needs this win 1,000 times more than Rey Fénix or Penta needs this win. They have gotten championships. They have gotten a lot of opportunity. Pac, I don't fucking get. I don't know, you know, when his contract is up, but it sure feels like, you know, what's the future with Pac with a championship? I think the House of Black got to get a win out of this. All right, moving right along. I know we all wanted William Regal to blood and guts, but we didn't get that. Anarchy in the Arena, a.k.a. Street Fight Clusterfuck. And that is not an insult. This will be a wild brawl. This will probably have a little bit of reminiscing with Sting going off the balcony. We will see some wild shit going down in this match. I got news for you. If we have moments where there's just straight up good wrestling in the middle of the ring, I think the crowd will eat it up. I think the crowd will eat it up. I think we may get a moment with Daniel Garcia and Bryan Danielson going at it in the ring, just straight up, you know, some real stiff wrestling, and I think the crowd is going to eat it up, but this is going to be an absolute wild brawl. We have John Moxley, Bryan Danielson, Santana Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston taking on Jericho, Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, and, you know, the former, fuck with the name, 2.0. Look, Moxley doesn't need to win. Bryan Danielson doesn't need to win. Eddie Kingston doesn't need to win. But in my opinion, how they have handled Santana and Ortiz is almost laughable. The fact that these guys almost have to cry and beg to get a title match is just nauseating. Santana Ortiz should have been on a similar level of the Young Bucks in AEW over the last couple of years. And sure, they've been part of the Inner Circle. They've been doing the feuding. They've been sidelined. But man, Santana and Ortiz should have been so much further with this. The only reason why I'm going with Moxley's team is because Santana and Ortiz need a win. They need a good win. It's just they're too lost in a shuffle. And if their future is not within AEW, then give it to the Jericho Appreciation Society. But for me, Santana and Ortiz need this win. Out of everybody in that match, Daniel Garcia's got his whole future ahead of him. Jericho's a Hall of Famer. 2.0, it doesn't matter. They're comedy stuff more than anything else. Jake Hager doesn't need it. You know, Kingston's got the high-profile win over Jericho. Moxley and Danielson have plenty of high-profile wins. It's Santana and Ortiz that need it. So I'm going with Eddie Kingston's team to take it. I think that might be the match of the night, or maybe second match of the night. All right. The Young Bucks versus the Hardys. I'm surprised how many people out there that have no idea or forgotten that they fought about 5 years ago. They fought for Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, I think 11 in 2017. This was before they went to WWE. And that match went at least 20 minutes. And that was a wild brawl. Ladders were used. I mean, this was an absolute brawl. The problem is you have a Jeff Hardy now that is 5 years older. You have a Matt Hardy now that is 5 years older. And they could feel invigorated here and here, but that doesn't mean that their whole body is invigorated. I think Jeff Hardy is in a lot more pain than we think. But he loves what he's doing so much that the adrenaline numbs the pain. If you look closely, you could see little skirmishes and strains when he just turns certain ways. And that's not him just playing character. You know, you could see the visible pain. But, you know, this, he just eats, breathes this and shits it. But at the end of the day, these are not the Hardys from even Impact Wrestling, the Broken Hardys. This is going to be a fun match, no question. And the Young Bucks won the match in Ring of Honor because of Tony Khan's love for the Hardys and their history. I think they're giving the Hardys the win in this. I think, especially with Jeff Hardy losing his match against Adam Cole, especially with legacy, I think the teachers have to beat the students, even though the Young Bucks have been around for a while. The Hardys will defeat the Young Bucks. Again, the Young Bucks won the Ring of Honor match, and it was an excellent match. A lot of signs of respect afterwards. I think we will see signs of respect again. I just hope we don't get Brandon Cutler. I hope we don't get that schmuck's involvement. I mean, I could just picture it with the spray and he inadvertently does this. It's not needed. Leave that motherfucker in the back. Just have Hardys versus the Young Bucks. It's not going to be what it was in 17, but it'll still be good enough that we will enjoy the match. Kenny Omega sighting, that's possible. But I don't see it because we don't have Adam Cole in this mix also. It could happen, but I don't think so. But I'm going with the Hardys to beat the Young Bucks. Okay, we only have a few matches left. Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. I mean, is this one of the most predictable matches on the show? We love Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb has had underrated career. I think she probably should have. It reminds me a little bit of Mercedes Martinez. Serena Deeb should have been a much more recognizable name in pro wrestling. Straight Edge Society is a little bit before a lot of people's time. And yes, you could play catch up. That's fine. But Serena Deeb at this point is more trainer and more of, taking the back seat. As far as women's wrestling goes, she could still go. And she could still have a top quality match. But you're not taking the title off of Thunder Rosa. Especially with the way fans have been really angry with the lack of usage with Thunder Rosa on network TV over the last, you know, since she won the title. Thunder Rosa's got to keep that title. I mean, if you want to go with any match on this night that is predictable, that you bet everything, this is the match you bet. Thunder Rosa beats Serena Deeb. It'll be a top quality match, but Thunder Rosa takes it. MJF versus Wardlow. Wardlow's got to get this. Wardlow could get screwed by someone. At this point, Wardlow got that loss with CM Punk. And Wardlow, the fans are turning him into a Goldberg. Now, I've always been a fan of Goldberg. You will not see me throw Goldberg under the bus. But I was a wrestling fan watching Goldberg in real time when he first came on the scene. Wardlow is 1,000 times more talented than Goldberg at this point in his career. When Wardlow first appeared in AEW, you might remember that I referenced a couple of matches on YouTube so you all could get familiar with him. Guy could work. Guy is really good in the ring. You know, he's obviously has a lot more improvement to make, but at this stage of the game, he is much, much better than what Goldberg was at this part of his career. The AEW fans are into Wardlow. Wardlow is already talking about how he wants gold. You're not going to kill that momentum or even him saying he wants gold by having him lose to MJF. Even if MJF pulls a fast one on Wardlow, Wardlow's got to get this win. Somebody could show up. Yeah, I mean, Mike brings up Brian Cage. You know, that's going to be fascinating. Brian Cage, his AEW future is going to be really interesting to watch because we don't think about it too much lately. But it's been several months now that he re-signed and Brian Cage says, apparently AEW has something planned for me. Now we're a bunch of months later and it's still nothing. So something's got to give. And will Brian Cage be the new guy with MJF? Will Brian Cage end up feuding with Wardlow? Possibility. They did not feed Brian Cage to Wardlow. I think that's for a reason. I still think Wardlow beats MJF. Maybe Brian Cage shows up afterwards and leaves him laying, but I'm going with Wardlow to beat MJF. Wardlow needs this win. The whole storyline, the way it's been put together, to go this far just to lose, no. Wardlow will beat MJF. What happens after the match is different. This leaves us with our main event. Hangman Page defending the AEW World Championship, can't say heavyweight, versus CM Punk. I have gone with a narrative for quite some time, and even after watching their exchange yesterday, I'm sticking to that narrative. I think ultimately CM Punk turns. It would be really interesting if they turned him before Forbidden Door in Chicago. I think CM Punk as a heel with his microphone skills would be epic for AEW fans because now he's got to get very creative on how he cuts his promos. Can't keep trashing Vince. Can't keep trashing Triple H. Can't keep trashing, you know, wrestlers in WWE. Now, who's he going to trash in AEW? It's going to be really interesting if they go that route. I'm going with Hangman Page to retain the title. And the reason why I'm going with that is the same reason I said for the last 2 weeks. Tony Khan, in a recent interview, talked about Hangman Page. And he felt that in everyone that has held the heavyweight title, he thinks Hangman Page has had the best run. He cites his matches against Bryan Danielson. He cites his matches against Adam Cole. Hangman Page, without a doubt, has had some awesome matches between those two guys. I mean, you had a 1 hour with Bryan Danielson that was beautiful. But when you look at the number of matches Hangman Page has had, it has been very little. His reign has gone weeks and weeks and weeks at a time without a match. They'll throw him with a Dark Order member. They give him Takeshita, which even though it was a good match, I mean, majority of fans, it's just a number. Hangman Page, his run, in my opinion, Moxley's run was a lot better. Kenny Omega's was a lot better. Kenny Omega, you know, had that title and others. And yeah, he was more of a sports entertainer. But in my opinion, even though Hangman Page may have had some top quality matches against Omega, against Bryan Danielson. Now, Hangman wasn't the champion again yet against Omega, but he's had some top matches. In my opinion, if you want fans to agree with Tony Khan that Hangman Page has had the best run of anyone as world champion, Hangman Page needs to beat CM Punk. At some point, the darlings have to lose. Bryan Danielson lost. He lost to Hangman Page. So, you know, CM Punk needs to have a high-profile loss, and not just as the result of being screwed. This is not an MJF storyline here. Hangman Page, I think, needs one more decisive, high-profile win. Him beating CM Punk, I think, solidifies Hangman Page as having a good, very good title reign. He could drop the title, you know, in 2 months. You know, I don't know if he does. See, this is the thing that everybody needs to talk about. You have Forbidden Door in June. I don't think any titles are going to be on the line. And even if there were titles on the line, you're not going to have a New Japan wrestler take the title, an AEW heavy world title, off of an AEW wrestler. So you get through Forbidden Door. When is the next AEW pay-per-view? What is it, in August or September? So whoever has this championship, unless they lose it on national TV, they're going to keep that title going into the next pay-per-view. Do you have Hangman Page keep that belt for another 2 or 3 months? Or do you change the title now and have CM Punk go into the next pay-per-view? Not talking about Forbidden Door, the one after it. Do you have him as champion? So that is the thing you got to think about also. That's the only thing that stops me completely about Hangman Page winning, because I don't know if I want to see Hangman Page keep this title for 3 more months. The way they've used him has been very underwhelming. And I don't know if he would lose the heavyweight title on nationwide TV, on the Turner networks, Warner Media. I think that would be fascinating, but I don't know if that would happen. And yeah, they have the battle of the belts, but I don't see that change in there. So the question is, does Hangman Page hold the title for a few more months? Would everybody be fine with that? Or do you start a reign with CM Punk? I'm going to stick with Hangman Page, and I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to stick with it only because the lack of matches that he has had has been very underwhelming. You know, Thunder Rosa, it's similar. Thunder Rosa, you see how much time has she had on TV since she's won that title. It's been embarrassing, but that's what happens. And let's also factor in one more thing. This is another reason why I go with Hangman Page. You look at AEW television for the last couple of months. There's no denying, and you have seen everybody at some point say this, that Hangman Page seems to be forgotten on a lot of episodes of Dynamite. That the focus should be more on the heavyweight champion, and it's not. The focus is on the heavyweight champion when you get very close to a pay-per-view. But there's been many, 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 many episodes of Dynamite and Rampage especially Dynamite, where people have said, you know, like, did they forget about the heavyweight champion? Like, they would focus on a lot of Ring of Honor stuff, but they would do almost nothing for their own heavyweight champion. Yeah, he would come out and cut a promo or have a confrontation, but it seemed like it was lacking. I think especially because of all of that criticism for the last couple of months, even more of a reason you give this win to Hangman Page. So I'm going to go on Hangman Page to retain. And that is your AEW Double or Nothing predictions. So I'm very curious to know what your predictions are. For fun, in the comment section, post who you think is going to win. And for bragging rights, you know, just cut and paste. In the description area, I have the matches listed. Just cut and paste them and tell me who you think is going to win. It's going to be an excellent pay-per-view. I mean, honestly, AEW doesn't have too many shitty pay-per-views. We have had some matches that have been underwhelming. That happens with any company. But when you look at this, it's going to be really, really, really almost impossible for them to screw this up. It's going to be a fabulous pay-per-view. The length is going to be draining, obviously, especially if we have any swerves or turns in the process. But it's going to be a really good pay-per-view. Now, I will be here Saturday night at 8:05 for your regular edition of the Don Tony Show. We definitely have some big topics to talk about. Any news that breaks between now and then, we'll get into it as well. And then Sunday, I will be here right after Double or Nothing with your recap. And then we go into Monday. And it is Memorial Day, so I know a lot of us could sleep late. And we will have our Monday night show after Raw. So, everyone, I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. I appreciate it if you enjoyed it. Hit that like button on the way out. If you're not a subscriber yet, consider subscribing. We're almost at 30K, which is great. And if you know anyone out there that you think would like the channel, let them know about it. You know, we try to do a little different every show. Every show is a little bit different. And, yeah. That's pretty much it. So everyone, have a great night. And shout out to Xavier Gambit. I have no idea what he's talking about, but the freaks, as Houdini used to say, the freaks come out at night. So be well, everybody. Have a good night. And as you will see on this outro, Ray Liotta, rest in peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.